Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The sermon for this exegesis on the face of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke in the 8th chapter. When a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, the sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it, and some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell on the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil, and it grew, and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Thus far the text. We must keep in mind that the subtitles that are written in God's printed word are not Holy Scripture. They are a suggestion as to what the text is about. Unfortunately, the subtitle given to this parable, being dubbed the parable of a sower, is somewhat of a poor or improperly focused subtitle for this text. The sower isn't really the important character in this parable, and in all reality, the true sower of the seed, which is God's word, is the Holy Spirit, who works where and when he pleases, which is to say, he works where he speaks, which is through the word and the sacraments. But again, the sower isn't really the important character in the parable, just as the Holy Spirit doesn't want the focus to be on him. He wants the focus to be, he always and only wants to focus you on Christ. The active one in this parable is the seed, who is Christ. So maybe a more appropriate subtitle would call this the parable of the seed. Seeds are amazing to hold in your hand. There it is, tiny, unimpressive, sitting idle, waiting to be planted, so that it can do what it was designed to do. Break forth into something living. The Lord God created a perfect world, teeming with life, and seeds were part and parcel of this great creative plan. In fact, only 12 verses into the Holy Scriptures, and it is written, "And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind." Seeds have always been integral in God's creation. They are the ongoing creative work of God to sustain man and beast alike. But man, in his finite wisdom, and according to his selfish will, couldn't stand that God had all the power. And so, by his own bound will, man wanted to be like God. And he ate of that which was not sown for him. After the fall, God announced the consequence to man. "Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread." No more would seeds sprout effortlessly for man. Instead, even birds would eat what the man has sown, no longer living in harmony with man. generation to generation. And when the ground was ready, the seed was at last sown. Unlike any other human seed sown by an earthly father in a natural way, this seed was sown supernaturally by God Himself through the Holy Spirit. The angel of the Lord appeared to Mary and sowed the seed into her through her ear. For the seed is none other than the Word of God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And once implanted, that seed would grow into the fulfillment of God's promise to the serpent. He, the very Word of God, would crush the serpent's head in an unthinkable way by dying and rising from the dead. But Jesus Himself said that unless a grain of wheat, that is a seed, falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Much fruit has indeed come from such a blessed sowing. For from Father's hand, sending or sowing the seed of His only begotten Son to the earth, looking so idle, looking so unimpressive, having to be cultivated by evil men, having to be raised up through a crucifixion before being cast down into the ground. But much fruit has indeed been born of that dying seed. For that seed crushed the serpent's head, descending into hell to announce His victory. Indeed, the seed died and created the good soil of the new Israel, the church, where the Word of God is implanted, where His life is given to you, like Mary, into your ears by preaching. Seed is also given to you through bread and wine, both of which come from seeds, and through water that germinates and nourishes the life within the seed, baptismal water. Even though a sermon from a preacher or a few words chanted over bread and wine, or a spoken declaration of the forgiveness of sins, or a sprinkle of water on a baby's head don't look very powerful. They are indeed, for they contain the very same seed that crushed the serpent's head. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It is good that the Word pierces to the division of soul and of spirit. It is good that the Word discerns the thoughts and intentions of the heart. For God remains true, and His truth must reveal man to Himself. The Word must reveal how man in his sinful flesh could care less about God, how sinful man Even as you eat.